Hello, guys, gals, and my non-binary pals. Welcome to The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve, broadcasting live on the Really American Media platform. It's time for your midweek political briefing. The boys are here to keep this current political dumpster fire to a smolder. Thanks for being part of the resistance. You are needed, because what's happening in America isn't normal. All right, you little bastards, it's go time. Look out, Cankles McTaco Tits. We're coming for you.
We are
coming.
Take
it away, boys.
All right. I haven't heard that yet. That's good. Cankles McTaco Tits? Cankles McTaco Tits, dude. That's what I'm going with anyway.
So. Wow.
I'm adding that to my official list of nicknames for our dear emperor.
Beautiful. Yeah. Welcome to The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Here we are. It's Tuesday, 3 o'clock on the West Coast. We are live right now on the Really American Media platform here on YouTube and Facebook. We look forward to chatting along, ladies and gentlemen, as I start to see folks enter the chat as of now, Steve.
Hi, chat people. Yeah, we're live. Like Nick said, just after 3 on the West Coast, just after 6 in New York City on the East Coast. So if you're watching this, feel free to jump in the comment section. You are the vocal minority, after all. We encourage a little interactivity here. We'll share comments on the screen, respond to those that are worthy of a response. And you can find all of our social medias for the vocal minority specifically on basically every platform. And then we're all over this Really American thing right here on YouTube and Facebook and everywhere else, quite frankly. We're spreading out, Nick.
That is. We used to say back in the day, we're spreading nationwide just like SARS. Boy, has that been a long time ago. But
it's even dated to say we're spreading like COVID, although it's still a thing and there is a new variant out there.
I love this new thing where people are just checking in from not only all over the country, but all over the world, for crying out loud. Right. Aloha from Hawaii.
No, Hawaii's on there. Missouri on there. That's good. Scotland back again. We got the UK, Louisiana.
Yeah.
We're big hits in the UK. That's fun stuff.
We are. These are all different perspectives that we get, not only from right here in this country, but all around the world. That's why we love to have you all in the chat. Hey, what's up, Canada? Greetings from Oregon. We see you all. Hey, guys, Kinkle McTaco Tits. Love it. I'll tell you what, dude, I didn't come up with that. I heard someone else say that, and somebody in the chat just mentioned maybe who it was. But I can't remember, but it's not a Nick Reynolds original. I stole it from somebody. I think it's great.
Well, that's it's big of you to admit that. But sometimes, I don't know if it's stealing more inspiration. I mean, we are artists, are we not? We can be inspired by things around us. And if it violates copyright laws, Trump does it all the time, so we can do it too, right?
Yeah, exactly, dude. We're being led down this hallway. And I stay with a different affect and everything. It's mine. It's original. Come on.
There you go. Oh, hey, Florida, check it in. Why are you guys such a disaster? Not only the whole Florida man thing, but I watch a lot of police body cam videos. Yeah. 90% of them are from Florida. Like, that is just where I think it's like a funnel in America. Just all the waste goes down to the bottom.
That would make a lot of sense, dude. I mean, there are good people in Florida.
Yeah, it's like that person, obviously. Yeah,
you're here. You're part of the resistance. We love having you. I'd also like to take just a quick moment to say that last Friday when we did our last podcast, we had a bunch of people come out and say, like, why are you guys talking about, you know, you have an older audience? Like, I'm 85. I love this shit. And we were never, you know, bagging on older folks, for sure. Like, we want everybody here, and that's the truth. So don't be so sensitive and don't take it like that.
First of all, older is a relative term to many, many people in my life, especially my children. You and I, about to turn 50, are on the older side of things. I was recently hanging out with some people that were 60 that were treating me like I was 12. Like, yeah. You're 49? Like, please. You're a puppy still. Like, and I never know what side of that is a compliment and which isn't. But, yes, we do welcome one and all. So, here we go.
Here's the originator of Cankles McTaco Tits, I guess. It's Jennifer Welsh is her name, and people are warning, careful, she's really mean. I think she's really mean to Donald Trump. I don't have any fear of her being mean to the vocal minority with Nick and Steve. So,
do you know who she is?
She's a podcaster, and she's takes on, you know, Kinkles McTaco Tits, whatever his name is. But she hates Trump, and she does a good podcast, from what I've seen anyway.
Okay. So, yeah. Is 67 too old? Someone's asking. No.
We prefer 69, but.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You're heading towards the prime of your life. So.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, we are here for the midweek in review. And I think we're going to be back on Thursday this week because I'm traveling Friday.
Yes, you are gallivanting around the country. Where are you going, dude? Do you care to share?
I'm going to Chicago. I want to see a war zone. I figured Portland is clearly too dangerous, so I'm going to Chicago.
You want to get down into the heart of it, don't you?
Yeah. No, I'm going to go interview some ICE agents. I'm going to see how many times I can get detained in a two-day visit.
Well, make sure you got your phone on. Get some content for the show.
Yeah. Have you seen them, like, just shooting protesters in the face with pepper balls there?
Yeah, from what Stephen Miller says, like, that's fine, dude. We should all be doing that. You step in line or you get shot with pepper balls or you go to jail. We'll decide later, I suppose.
I suppose it's fine if you have no training, no empathy, no moral compass, and you're just put out there to cause chaos and try to start riots. So, mission accomplished, ICE.
Yes. Yeah, we're seeing all sorts of shit go down with ICE. We'll get into some of that later in the show. We've got a ton to cover today, Steve, so let me hit this button and we will
move. This is Need to Know News. News you need to know.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah, welcome to the show.
Skip the wars. Go for the dispensaries. Is it legal in Chicago? Is that an option?
You know, I was talking to my wife about somebody I recently heard that was smoking in Chicago, and she was like, oh, I was just there. I think it is legal now. I think they do have dispensaries in Chicago now, which I wasn't aware of. So
yeah, okay. That's good. Must be why it's a liberal war zone. Yeah. All of these whacked out stoners.
Yep. Please. Gotta be.
All right. Speaking of war zones, disappointment, you know, love is a battlefield, as I believe the great poet. Who was that? Was that Joan Jett? No.
It was Pat Benatar.
Pat Benatar. You're right. Thank you. Yes. Love is a battlefield. And, you know, I have been divorced for 6 years, but I've been happily in love for about the last 2 years. But in between all of that, I was a mid to late 40-something-year-old guy out there in the dating scene after having been with my ex-wife for like 17 years. So it sucked. And I was not accustomed to what was going to be waiting for me.
Yeah, I never had more reinforcement from Steve, like, Nick, take care of your relationship. Right. You don't want nothing to do with this. I mean, we had to learn about all kinds of shit from experts, like cuffing season, stuff I had never learned or even heard of. Right.
It is cuffing season right now, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
So this is the time of the year where people are trying to get into a relationship as you head into the holidays, because nobody wants to spend the holidays alone. So maybe that's why this article came out today, talking about the fact that mega men, particularly in the Washington, D.C. area, are having a hard time. But I do remember from my days on the apps, I always put on there, like, if you're a Trump supporter, don't even bother reaching out to me. And that has been very common ever since 2016. It's almost like gay or straight. Like, are you left or right? Because if you're a mega lover, leave me the hell alone.
Yeah, I mean, it is a hard line for people. Are you racist? Are you, you know, not racist? Whatever it might be. Like, it's a hard line in the sand. Yes. When it first started happening, I was like, wow, you jump into politics right away. But now, I mean, it is. I mean, we've drawn that line in the sand, and you're on one side or the other, and it's an important difference.
Absolutely. My first date with Kennedy, I immediately brought up politics and religion. And at the time, she was like, whoa, jumping right on into it, huh? And I was like, there's no need for a second date if the answers aren't correct on these topics. And religion, there's a much wider spectrum. Like, if you're deeply religious, but you're not judgmental, like, you know, I can probably adapt to that. But if you're MAGA, if you're Republican, like, I don't see that going anywhere.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, when we see well, it's common with people to struggle with even old friends that are MAGA or even family members that are MAGA. If you struggle in those relationships, I can't imagine struggling through trying to get a relationship off the ground because you're just different people, dude.
Yeah. And listen, there may be some older people watching us right now that think, well, gee, when I was dating, we used to agree to disagree on politics. But I really do feel that ever since MAGA version 1.0, the first Trump administration, that possibility has just flown out the window. Because it's no longer about disagreeing on tax cuts or, you know, regional spending plans or something. Nice. It's like you said, it's like, are you MAGA? In other words, are you racist? Do you believe in science? Do you have empathy towards other people? Like, yeah. These are pretty fundamental questions. But this article is talking about something slightly different. MAGA followers are reportedly struggling to find suitable matches. This is MAGA on MAGA. And this dating expert was interviewing people. We'll take one example here. Her name is Morgan, 29 years old, describes the disappointment after looking for a man in Washington, D.C. She said, quote, I felt like being in conservative politics, there would be more like masculine men in the conservative movement. And I found that a lot of them aren't as masculine as I would hope for. So that'd be my first question. Why would someone think the MAGA men are masculine? I think they're a bunch of snowflakes.
Dude, you know what? I mean, gosh, this has become all the rage, all the talk, right, of the last 10 years of, you know, MAGA men. We don't want men that are in touch with their feelings. We want people who hang fake balls from the back of their pickup truck. Like, you know, we want men that aren't afraid to spank their kids. And we even will up that. We want them to spank them in public and not give a fuck. You know
what
I mean?
Is that the definition of masculinity, though? Putting balls in my truck or screaming at my kids in public?
Don't cry during The Notebook, Steve. Don't cry if you're, you know, if something happens with your kid. Like, don't cry, first of all. We grew up hearing, like, I never saw my father cry. Yeah, dummy. That's not a good thing. You know, I'm not saying you have to be a blathering idiot, but you should be in touch with your emotions enough that you feel actually what's happening to you. And that doesn't happen as a masculine man.
Not in any stereotypical way, right. But I actually feel a lot of MAGA men are too in touch with their whiny little emotions that nothing can be ignored. Everything affects them. Everything is a threat to them. They get upset about everything. I mean, I don't know.
Dade Murphy says MAGA men are really just insecure little boys who are terribly afraid of women. I don't think that's far off at all. I mean, we've seen that with the rise in power with women breaking through glass ceilings, that they get more and more afraid. So, yeah, I think that's probably true.
Yeah, so this dating expert asked the woman if she would consider dating any of the men in military fatigues that are now routinely patrolling the streets of D.C., which I guess that would be one purpose for them to be out there.
Yeah.
Her response was, quote, clearly they're taking care of their bodies. They've got masculine traits of leadership and protection. I definitely admire that. Would not be opposed to dating or talking to a National Guardsman. Now, first of all, we've seen some viral pictures of these National Guardsmen who clearly are not taking care of their bodies.
Yeah, we just talked about ICE being too fat to fight, Steve.
Yeah. And some pictures went viral of, I think there were guardsmen from Tennessee that showed up in Chicago. They were, a bunch of roly-poly fat dudes jumping off the back of this truck. And even Pete Hegseth freaked out of like, hold on, we can't have those kind of guys representing MAGA. But those are the kind of guys that are representing MAGA.
Yeah, we're calling up. You're being called up through the ranks out of your mother's basement, dude, to come out and take the signing bonus for ICE.
Right. This woman goes on to say, there's a lot of talk around the word fascism and people on the left calling people on the right fascists and Nazis. I think if somebody genuinely thought that, they probably wouldn't want to date me. Like, that's a red flag. Well, as we keep saying, don't act like fascist Nazis and maybe people won't call you that.
Yeah, it's simple.
Is there a neo-Nazi dating website? Maybe they can all connect that way.
I wouldn't doubt it, dude, at all. I mean, I know there are those niche, dating websites for, they were talking about some of that stuff in the Young Republicans chat that just got released. You know, they were talking about these clubs that you can be a part of where you totally agree, if you know what I mean.
Jeffrey comments here, the gravy seals. Yes. Yeah, that's about right. Listen, women, I would also ask you this question to ponder. If the average mega man does not believe in science, do you think he's good at anatomy? If he doesn't have empathy, do you think he cares if you're pleased? These are those are red flags, all right?
Yeah. I mean, when she comes home at the end of the day, you don't want to hear about her day because you don't care about those feelings, dude. That's just drama at work. Like, right. I can imagine they are struggling to find good partners. And what does that say about the MAGA type, Steve? That, well, you're having trouble finding good partners because most of the people, in fact, I would maybe say 99.8%, I do believe in science, are terrible people in the MAGA party. You're terrible, dude.
Yeah, I agree. And it's funny, too, because on my dating app, I always had, you know, like I said, if you're a Trumper, if you're MAGA, don't even bother. And I had this one woman reach out to me saying, like, come on, like, don't let politics interfere with love. Like, you seem like a cool guy. Like, can't we just try this? And so I thought, all right, let's give it a try. I'm an open-minded progressive guy. Let's see how far this goes. So I was like, all right, here's my first question for you. My firstborn kid is gay. Is that a problem for you? And she was like, well, yeah, I mean, it's a sin against God. And I'm just like, all right, well, thanks for playing along. This made it really far. Go fuck yourself.
Wow. That was as far as it got.
Yes. I mean, wow. And how much further could it have gone? Pick a topic. Like, I could not possibly be okay with any of that. And how would I ever, in a zillion years, bring that woman home to meet my children?
You couldn't, dude. Come on.
No.
Do you remember when you also... I mean, you were really trying out there in that dating field as I reminisce through some of these memories. I think about the fact that there was this cool chick that you met that was religion was really important to her. And you were like, okay, let's see exactly how religious she is.
Right.
That one didn't make it either. She thought the same thing. Like, let's not let a silly little thing like God ruin love.
Yeah. And then she told me, if you don't believe Jesus died for your sins, then I don't see how we could even get coffee together. I'm like, well, you're very open-minded. So this is great. And yes, Nick, sometimes I reminisce through those thoughts as well. I believe it's called PTSD, and I'm working very hard to forget about it and move on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, my dad tried to date a conservative, and that didn't go over well either. She would come over to my house, and like NBC News would be on. Oh, you're watching the fake news there, huh? Or, I mean, it's incompatible. So I find it actually pretty funny that mega women are complaining about the mega men because you're all a bunch of lost causes. Why don't you open up your eyes, broaden your horizons a little bit? If you can't find a good date, what does that say about your moral compass, where you're at in life?
Yeah, this guy says MAGA women are all Karens, and I do see. You know, I for the most part, at least that's what we see out there.
And speaking of that, by the way, on the topic of Karens, Nick and I got an email through our website this week from a loyal fan who may be watching right now. I don't know, but she watches us on Really American, listens to the podcast. She's a fan, but her name is Karen. And she was basically begging us to stop calling whiny bitches like Karens. And I didn't come up with that nickname. It's just become synonymous. And I do feel bad for any woman named Karen who is not the I want to talk to the manager, racist, terrible woman, worthy of the word that I just used. But I can't change society that much. I'm trying, but I don't think it's working.
Oh, I feel bad. You know, I guess your name was the name that was chosen. And yeah, I don't know how to call people out for that kind of behavior anymore without this new definition of Karen. Oh, my mom's name is Karen. Dade Murphy says, whoa, that's a bitch. You know, I'm sorry.
Did you just call his mom a bitch?
No, I said that's a bitch. Not she.
Oh, you mean it. I see. Yeah. Okay, right. My apologies to any female dogs watching right now. I don't mean to be singling you out. But yeah, listen, Karen, to any of the good Karens out there, I do feel bad. Like, listen, I'm not a big fan of Stephen Miller and Steve Bannon, like other Steves that have made me look bad, but at least my name has not become completely synonymous with asshole men. So
yeah,
there's that.
Yeah.
But I'm working on that too.
Dictionary, dude.
Right?
Nothing we can do.
No, and there have been a lot of mega Karens of late, and they are fun to highlight, and they tend to be racist tools. I did a video this week about a mega Karen in Beverly Hills. And I said that she was a rich bitch that went from 90210 to 90210. Oh, no, you didn't. When she went on this racist tirade. And I, you know, I'm sorry, but, oh, by the way, and somebody commented, like, well, how do you know she's MAGA? Like, you think that woman voted for Kamala Harris who's screaming at Mexicans that she's going to call ICE and have her deported? Like, yeah, not everyone in California is a liberal, but some of them are Karens and we got to call them out. So,
yeah, no offense to the good Karens out there. Yeah, change her name to Good Karen. I'm a good Karen.
Go by Kathy or something. I mean, aren't there options?
Yeah, I don't know. I would honestly be thinking about changing my name because that would get really old if you were like, oh, hi, I'm Karen. Oh, you're a Karen.
Right. No. And anytime you display any attitude, it's like, oh, there it is. See, yeah. You are a Karen. So
it's coming out. Good luck to all those people that are dating in the MAGA world. I you know what? I actually bad luck to you because I don't want you reproducing. You know, I don't want you making more of the MAGA parties.
Exactly. So, yes, practice safe sex, especially when you're home alone.
Let's talk about something that is hugely popular in the MAGA party right now. In fact, I think this is how our podcast was titled here for today. We're going to talk a little bit more about some of the murders that the president of the United States is calling for and just outwardly doing. And some of the folks that are applauding and saying, more of this, Mr. President, more of this, Mr. President.
Deeply conservative people cheering on just killing death.
Yes.
No due process. And by the way, we have yet to see any evidence released on any of these 20 to 30 people that we have now murdered. And I saw a report last week that some congressmen did get a behind-the-scenes briefing, and they came out saying they didn't tell us anything. There was no freaking proof that any of these people are for sure drug dealers, as if that even justifies killing them. Being a drug dealer is not a capital crime.
I'll play a little video for you from Jessica Tarlov taking on the topic as the Trump administration launched another series of military strikes in the Pacific targeting boats accused, mind you, of smuggling drugs, this time killing 14 more people and bringing the total deaths to at least 57 now.
Oh, I was way off. 57. Holy jeez.
57 from these operations. You wonder, we're going to keep you with a sharp tongue and facts so you can fight back when you're having these conversations. Listen to Jessica Tarlov talk a little bit about, what's wrong with this? Because it is crazy.
It's a long list, but yeah.
It doesn't make a lot of sense. First and foremost, the fact that no one can confirm that we've actually been taking out narco traffickers or huge drug traffickers, however you want to say it. And last week when we were talking about this, Dana had just seen the alert that the admiral in charge of the Southern Command had resigned. And he was the one who was in charge of this. And the reporting is that he wasn't comfortable with the mission and had been pushing back within the Pentagon. And do you think he would have resigned if everything was by the book? So we have 32 people that have been killed so far, 7 individual strikes. We know that the Colombian president is alleging at least that an innocent fisherman was murdered. We know that there's a family from Trinidad who's saying that a member of their family was killed. And then it is really important that we have repatriated 2 people, 1 to Colombia, 1 to Ecuador, because that indicates that we don't have any evidence to prosecute them, that we didn't know who these guys were. Because if you did have evidence, you would bring them before a court. And I know that you're going to make fun of me, and I am prepared for it each and every day, but drug traffickers also have rights. The law applies.
Duh.
Yeah.
I mean, they have legal rights and moral rights. And again, if Obama was doing this, if Biden was doing it, some GOP guy just came out a couple of days ago and used a fun word. He said he would be apoplectic if Biden was doing this. That he said, like, I cannot deny that if Biden did this stuff, I would be apoplectic, which means freaking the fuck out in layman's terms.
Right. No, it's absolutely crazy, dude. Jessica Tarlov, that was from a couple of days ago. The death toll was at 32. It's up to 57 now.
It's probably up to 60 by now. Like, it's happening constantly.
Who knows, dude? Pete Hegseth, defense secretary, announced these latest strikes that just happened, but the department still hasn't produced evidence that destroyed boats were actually smuggling drugs, fueling serious doubts and controversy. There are obviously a lot of lawmakers and human rights advocates that are kind of starting to push back on this because, like, it's enough already, right? Eric Swalwell has called for congressional investigation and transparency. Senator Rand Paul, Republican. Yeah,
he's been good on this.
Yes, and he's publicly criticized these strikes, saying Congress hasn't received meaningful evidence and hasn't authorized these military actions. There's a long list of people that are starting to get involved, but this latest one, I don't know. I call him wishy-washy Graham because, well, it depends on the day to how he feels about what President Trump is doing. But listen to this bastard being talked to. And this is the exact attitude that we all hate about you, MAGA mother.
You said to the men and women of the military that they are carrying out lawful orders.
Yeah.
Secretary Hegseth removed the top uniformed lawyers in the Air Force. You know this, the Navy and the Army, because he called them roadblocks to orders that are given by a commander in chief. There have been other departures as well. This raises concern that commanders are not being given adequate legal counsel. That is why you just said that sentence to assure them.
That's garbage. The theory that President Trump's doing something here illegally, dealing with a country that's run by an indicted drug dealer, is the same as Panama. There's a better case to go into Venezuela than there was Panama. I've been doing this all of my adult life. I have all the confidence in the world that President Trump has the legal authority, but more importantly, he's doing the right thing. More Americans have died from cocaine and fentanyl poisoning than any terrorist group in the world. I am very pleased that we now have a president who's going to use the full force of the American people, the might of America, to protect us from narco-terrorist states and drug organizations. Keep it up, Mr. President. We're not committing murder. We're protecting our nation from people who want to poison us.
Wow. This is a God-fearing man, somebody who claims to be religious. And what if we just started blowing up his constituents there in South Carolina? Like, there
is that
has
not
to be
unbelievable, dude?
Yes. And as I keep pointing out, the only reason anyone brings drugs in this country is because people are buying them here. They are not sneaking into America and poisoning our city water or something. Like, this is insanity. And how any Republican who's supposed to be for less government and states' rights and all of that garbage they've been preaching, which is accurate in a lot of ways. I'm for states' rights and now when it comes to slavery or whatever, but you know what I mean? Like, this is the height of hypocrisy to let the president murder people, especially when the Congress is supposed to have oversight of these things. We can't just declare war willy-nilly.
No, dude, we're not supposed to be able to, and here we're doing it, and people like Lindsey Graham are stepping up saying, hey, there's nothing wrong here. The president has a duty to make this happen. First of all, if we were really taking out narco-terrorists, there would be no issue at all with bringing proof to the American people of targeted attacks on narco-terrorists. It hasn't been done, and you wonder why? Well, I mean, we can only assume, but the assumption is huge. Second of all, when you have to tell military people that, oh, these are lawful orders, like, something's wrong, dude. If somebody in the military is questioning, I wonder if these are lawful orders.
Right.
They're probably not, dude.
Yes. As Mary said here, probably best you listen to the top military leaders. Like, there should never be any question if this is legal or not. It is way easier to make the case that this is illegal than legal. Yeah. We are not at war, not with them. Well, anyone really, per se. But I mean, here's the problem. We're all focusing on what is in front of us. There is more going on here than meets the eye. This is not about trying to stop the drug trafficking. There are a million ways to get drugs into this country, and little fishing boats with a single motor out back there is not the most effective way. So what else is going on? Are we going after the oil in Venezuela? Is it just that their president has upset Trump? Is there some greater infrastructure thing here? Does Trump just want to declare war to distract us from Epstein or whatever else? This is not about actually trying to save us from fentanyl, which doesn't even come from Venezuela.
Well, and think about this, Steve. I mean, we have all kinds of drug dealers in large cities across America that supply a lot of drugs to a lot of people. Is it okay? Should we just start killing them without any due process? I mean, would you feel the same way? Because basically that's what's happening. You walk up and shoot that guy in the head and say, yeah, he was a drug dealer, dude. I'm protecting the community. And that's that? We wash our hands of it? Is that the America we live in?
Yeah. Deborah right here. Oil is the motive. And you're not the first person I've heard say that. It's not getting a lot of mainstream media attention. I've yet to see any credible sources dive into that. But I do know there is a lot of oil there. It's why we've started wars in other countries before. And Trump used to always say with Iraq or whatever, like, we should have taken the oil, take the oil. Like, maybe that's what this is about. Maybe he's trying to drive down gas prices by taking their oil. I don't exactly know, but there is certainly more going on here than blowing up two frickin' drug dealers alleged at a time.
Right.
And again, no frickin' proof at all. And it doesn't matter. There's got to be, this is supposed to be law enforcement. You don't just murder people from afar. Citizens of another country that we're not at war with, no due process, no proof presented. And the Trump administration obviously has no credibility to just, you know, take their word for it.
And when they don't have names, when they don't have faces, it's easier for us all to move on, right? I mean, these are just dead people that we'll never know or wouldn't have known, or we don't know because, well, they aren't giving names. They aren't giving faces. This is an interesting comment, Joanne Gross. What happened to no new wars?
Right. And yes, he did promise that.
Yeah, he did talk about that. And I think that it is, I mean, it's comical because I don't know how you look at this, but yeah, obviously this has the possibility to become a new war. I mean, it's almost a war in itself because you're murdering people. And this is a statement that Trump just made. Well, I think he made it this week here.
So, as you know, this is one of eight wars that my administration has ended in just 8 months. We're averaging one a month. There is only one left. Although I heard that Pakistan and Afghanistan have started up, but I'll get that solved very quickly.
Very quickly.
I know them both. And the Pakistan, the field marshal and the prime minister are great people. And I have no doubt we're going to get that done quickly. That one started up a few days ago.
Yes.
And I just feel it's something I can do. I do it nicely. I don't need to do it, I guess. But if I can take time and save millions of lives, that's really a great thing. I can't think of anything better to do. But the eight wars that my administration has ended in just 8 months, there's never been anything like that. Never. There never will be either.
There still hasn't been.
I can't think of any president that ever solved one war. I don't think anybody. They start wars. They don't solve them.
Yeah, screw you, Lincoln. Did he stop any wars? Did he resolve any of those? I don't remember.
Unbelievable, dude.
Wow.
There's only one more left. You know. There's never been anything like it, Steve, and there never will be again.
Well, let's hope there will never be nothing like this ever again. And let's start calling him Slurry McTaco Tits. What was that about? He's talking about all this stuff and eight wars. And like, seriously, give that man a breathalyzer. Is he having a stroke in real time?
He gets on that slur every once in a while. But, you know, I don't think you have to worry about President Trump's health right now. because
it's bad.
It's bad, but he keeps talking about how good it is. I don't know if you heard the latest news on his health examination. This is comical, dude. I think we've made it pretty clear with the audience that I've been open about having multiple sclerosis, and MRIs are something I get at least once a year. So I've done
it. Here's the thing. I don't have something like MS, and I don't ever get MRIs.
Do you know about them? Do you know what they are?
Magnetic radiant imaging. It's a big tube you go into and they look inside your body.
Takes pictures of your insides. Trump was just talking about, you know, being very smart. And he came out and said this.
I did. I got an MRI. It was perfect. Yep. I mean, I gave you the full results. We had an MRI
and the machine, you know, the whole thing. Yeah. And it was perfect, yeah.
Did you say what in particular?
You could ask the doctors. In fact, we have doctors traveling with us, but I think they gave you a very conclusive. Nobody has ever given you reports like I gave you. And if I didn't think it was going to be good, either I would let you know negatively. I wouldn't run. I'd do something, but... the doctor said some of the best reports for the age, some of the best reports they've ever seen.
Wow. Some of the best reports, okay? So,
what, did he score 100 out of 100 on his MRI? I didn't know that was a thing.
Jesus, oh, dude. What are you talking about?
How'd you score on your last MRI?
I think I got about a 74% on my last one. But
listen, yeah. My point of saying I haven't done it, I think I've done maybe one MRI in my life, but that was when the doctors were looking for something inside of me because there was reason to believe there was something going on. Like, regular people don't get MRIs as part of a physical.
No, dude, it's not something that you just, hey, let's get an MRI, see what's going on in there. Like, they're looking for something.
Obviously. Now, that is something that Caroline Leavitt had never admitted to when she talks about all these reports. That's something that his fraudulent doctor has never put in there. And then Grandpa Trump there just lets it slip that, yeah, I had an MRI and I got a perfect score. Because he has to try to cover because he realizes he just said something he shouldn't. Yeah. Why is he having two annual physicals in 1 year? And why would he have an MRI?
Yeah, it's interesting, dude. And then to hear him also say, we have doctors traveling with us. Why do you have doctors traveling with you, dude? That's not a normal thing for a president.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, there's so many things going on right now that I just keep saying, like you know, Bannon this week talking about, you know, Trump's got a plan for 2028. He's not leaving office. Like, yeah, he's leaving the Oval Office in a frickin' pine box. The man is not in good health. No. He's going to die of natural causes, Secret Service. Don't come knocking on my door. Before 2028, I would just be gobsmacked if he makes it 3 more years.
Completely.
This bruising is not normal. It is not from Tylenol. It's not or from aspirin. Obviously, he's not taking Tylenol. He doesn't want to get autism. So,
right. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if Stormy Daniels let us know if he was circumcised or not.
She said it looked like a mushroom. So, I don't know. Probably it's debatable, actually.
Yeah. But, yeah.
No, he is not in good health. Obviously, they're lying about it. And, yeah, the Grim Reaper is going to catch up to him any old day now. I don't know. Not that I really want a President Vance, but it's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, I would think so. Comments like this, is Biden still alive? Or I don't know why you asked that question, dude. Biden is no longer president and he's not running the country. So I don't know what the intention of the question is.
Well, that may have been a sincere question. Who knows?
Yeah, they just asked, is Mitch McConnell still alive? I don't know.
Debatable.
We saw him take a header last week, so I'm not exactly sure, but yeah.
Yeah, listen, we do have a lot of old people running this country, or formerly running, and yeah, Biden, I mean, he did his thing, he served his time, and he's out there, and I know he rang the bell to end his cancer treatment, but it's extremely, you know, progressive and invasive, so.
Yeah.
Also, when you hit about the age of 80, like, you know, that's where my parents are at, things catch up to you in your 80s, so.
Yeah.
You know, Trump is not immune from anything, certainly not the laws of physics or reality.
I wonder if having a med bed will, you know, prolong his life a little bit.
Trump put out a video of himself saying the med beds are real. You know, he forgot giving that speech, but
MRI, they are searching for his brains. That's hysterical. Yeah, I don't know why you would have an MRI. I mean, what are they looking for, Steve? Are they looking for cancer? Are they looking to see if he had a stroke? That's been a rumor for a long time that he's had more than one stroke.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're looking for.
But. I mean, we know he's got heart issues. That has to be what the cankles are from, and from the bruising. Like, he's got circulatory issues going on. So I'm sure an MRI was looking for either something specific or just trying to figure out what the hell is going on, because none of it is normal. None of it is the sign of the healthiest president ever.
What do you think the taco tits derive from? You know, like, what's that health condition?
Transgender. Maybe that's why he's always talking about transgender.
transgender for everybody.
Right. Used to be Diana Trump. So,
yeah.
Transgender for everybody. I did see a comedian the other day do a great bit about, you know, he was like, you remember that Kamala Harris, you know, campaign ad that Trump ran against her about giving inmates, you know, sex change surgeries?
Yeah.
He was like, that would actually be a pretty good deterrent for crime. If everyone convicted of a crime had to go through a sex change operation, I think the crime rates may drop significantly. So maybe Kamala was actually on to something there. You know?
He went in Sam and he came out Sally, you know. Right.
Just like our school kids. Yeah. Every day my son comes home to something different. He's my daughter this day. My son, you know, it's California. Everyone's getting transgender. It's just like getting an ear piercing.
Yes, transgender for everyone, dude. Come on. Yeah. All right. Oh, that's some good stuff.
All right, moving along real quick here. I feel like sometimes you and I talk about stuff on this show that I wish people would take more seriously, and I don't know if it's registering. I've done a couple of solo videos on this topic on Really American, and they do well, but not as well as some of my videos about Trump getting trolled in England with, you know, giant pictures of him and Epstein, or getting caught, you know, cheating at golf or something. Those do well, and they should, because they're fun and funny. But we've been talking about the fact that ICE is spending millions, and I just saw one report that said they're up over $1 billion in total spending on spyware stuff.
Yes.
And some of that is not new. Some of it Biden did put a stop to, and now it's starting to come back around. And Rachel Maddow has been ringing this bell as well. I just heard her yesterday talking about this, that we are truly in a scary era where we have had autocracies or wannabe authoritarians before in history, but never at the same time as this new level of spyware. Although, like, the Saudis have used it. We have seen some other third world countries, their little wannabe dictators using it.
Yeah.
Because you are now able to spy on people in a way that has never existed before, and that you don't have to click on something that you shouldn't have. Like, they can just infect your phone. We did the story about the fake cell towers, that if you're driving near one of these ICE vans, they can intercept everything.
Yeah.
It's truly scary, and I think that most people just assume it's not happening or the technology is not there, but it is. And America has been waiting for an authoritarian to utilize it, and they are.
Yeah.
New out today, the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, also known as ICE, quietly signed yet another deal, this one for $5.7 million, to use advanced artificial intelligence, thanks AI, for social media surveillance. Federal records show that ICE will now have access to a system called Signal Labs, a platform that can analyze more than 8 billion online posts a day.
In more than 100 languages.
In so. Every language and everywhere. 8 billion posts a day? I would have said I don't even know that there are that many posts a day.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty incredible to think about. This software, Signal Labs, is also used by the Pentagon currently and Israeli military. So this is already tried, trusted, proven software. It's right. Doing exactly what they're saying.
Yes, this is, you're right, Signal Labs claims its AI system can automatically detect online threats, something that our government has been using before. But it's new. Officials say the agency will use it to assist with criminal investigations, but privacy experts worry that ICE is also going to use it for social media surveillance, targeting political speech and personal opinions, because Trump has given us every indication that he thinks those of us on the left are an extremist group. So he's already created the justification to be monitoring all of us, and you'll never know that it's happening until you do get a knock on the door.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I mean, the spyware can hack your camera, can hack your microphone. It can do everything you have seen in any warped spy movie, and it's in the hands of not only Trump but ICE.
Yeah.
And how much trust do you have in those people to use it responsibly?
Zero,
I can't even say it without laughing. I mean, it's insane. So like I said, hundreds of millions of dollars. And ICE already relies on several digital surveillance tools, such as Shadow Dragon, which maps online activities, Babel X, which connects social media profiles with personal data like locations and social security numbers. But with this new Signal Labs contract, ICE can now analyze more online data than ever, expanding its social media surveillance network. That really seems to be what it's about. And you're not telling me it's just about you know, some terrorist group that you think has a sleeper cell in Arkansas. Like, they're monitoring libs.
Yeah, that's exactly what they're doing. Keep in mind, ICE is planning already to hire dozens of contractors to monitor platforms like TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, and X around the clock to identify and target people they view as threats to national security, public safety, or immigration enforcement goals. This massive surveillance sweep collects data not only on their targets, but also on their family, friends, and community, raising, you know, severe privacy issues. But this is not if it comes for you. I mean, we're all connected 6 degrees, right? This is going to come. Everyone's going to come up in this, whether you think so or not.
Yes. The Fourth Amendment does protect against unreasonable searches and seizures. And I would argue that Trump, trolling through my personal social media would be slightly unreasonable. It's one thing if you suspect somebody and you can get a court warrant. All of these things do not require court orders. No judge is having any oversight over this.
Right.
But if they want to get in my car, they would need a warrant. If they want to get in my house, they need a warrant. But to get into my phone, to my social media, to see our texts, to see everything I post online, even if I'm posting anonymously, how is that not unreasonable?
It's completely unreasonable, dude.
Right.
This article says the Trump administration's use of social media monitoring extends beyond ICE, with citizenship and visa applicants required to provide social media information, expanding the scope of digital surveillance. Groups like the American Civil Liberties Union, the ACLU, and surveillance oversight projects are condemning the programs as an assault on democracy and calling for strong oversight and limits on government spying. It's already out, dude. Too late. It's already out.
Listen, nobody is stopping Trump from killing people on boats. So you think someone's going to stop him from spying on your Facebook feed? I mean, this is part of their plan to just overwhelm the news cycle and the government system with so much garbage that you can't possibly focus on any one thing. But it would be nice if somebody at least pick one thing, because there is no oversight going of anything. All of these things would get any other president impeached.
Yes. Easy, fast, quick, very quickly. Listen, we thought for a long time, we all knew. When I say we all knew, I'm talking about you guys listening to this podcast. We all knew when Trump said, I've never heard of Project 2025. These are the frickin' things they're carrying out of Project 2025. This spreads, and like I said, it's already out. I can't tell you how often Steve and I have just personal debates about AI, where it is, where it's heading, where it's going. Steve always says to me, we're in the sweet spot. That's slowly slipping away, the sweet spot. We're waving goodbye and saying it was nice to have you while you were here. It didn't last long enough, like all good visits.
And the sweet spot, by the way, is AI right now is being helpful. It hasn't taken over the job market or declared war on human beings yet, but it's coming. The war part, like maybe that's a little dystopian future sci-fi movie. It's extremely possible, but it is going to eradicate the job market in about 10 years. And jobs do you think are safe or not? So, yes, AI is definitely freaking me out. I've been trying to talk to my kids about it, but can we bring up a much more important topic?
I knew you were going to click that down.
Steve, I do enjoy the PRS guitars over your shoulder. Great tone and silky playability. Boy, you're a smart individual there. You're correct. And might I add, those are old school Paul Reed Smiths from the original factory, handmade in Pennsylvania. And they are the finest guitars made, and I'm lucky to have them both. So
you always talk about like people's short attention spans. Like, are you not listening to what we're saying here? You're just oogling the PRSs in the background.
Hey, people have priorities in this world, and that guy or girl has their priorities correct. So,
yeah,
thank you very much.
No, dude, this is very scary, and I guess we'll see where this goes because, there are privacy rights, government overreach, racial and political profiling is obviously a huge issue in all of this, and the future of digital freedom in America.
Yeah, so, just those things.
Yeah, just those simple, simple things. So,
all right. You have serious things or do you want some trivial things?
Well, I've got a few other things to get into. You might think it's funny or not funny. Let's see. Where do you want me to go? Oh, here, I'll give you this. This is something a little bit lighter. we know who Megyn Kelly is, right?
Unfortunately, yes, I do know she is.
Okay. Dude, I always wonder, like, the first I ever knew of Megyn Kelly was back in 2016 when we heard Trump say that, like, she had blood, period blood, coming out of her eyes. Do you remember?
I do, yes.
That was the first I ever really knew of Megyn Kelly. And I thought, oh, well, she's going to hate him. Well, it turns out Megyn Kelly, over the last few years, is really loves Trump. And she, ever since Charlie Kirk's death, has been really storming the public with events and doing things with her own podcast. She was hosting a public event, I believe, just this last week. And somebody got up and to ask her a question. There was some audience interaction. This young lady got up and asked her a great question, and her answer shocks me, but I guess it shouldn't. See what you think.
Hi, Megyn.
Hi.
I respect you tremendously, and I listen to you for your cogent and thoughtful arguments. What I'm confused about is why you've begun to resort to personal attacks like calling people fat and ugly.
Because I want them to come over to the other side. And the number one thing they need to do to get out of their ugliness is drop their Trump derangement syndrome. Their lives will be better and they'll be happier.
Wow.
Sorry, but it's true. I don't think it's any accident that the number of people we see out at the No Kings protest are homely people. I don't. I don't think it's any accident. I look out here and I see all beautiful people. To believe that conservatism makes you gorgeous. I don't know what it is. It's like a fountain of youth. It just makes you, I mean, you get asked out more, you start having more action, you get better job opportunities. People are selling conservatism all wrong.
I believe the news article we started off the show with would contradict that.
Yeah, exactly. Dude, first of all, she's in on a stage with bright lights against her. You can barely see the crowd. You and I have been on large stages. You can't see people.
Right.
To say that, like,
wait, she's lying?
These are all beautiful people here. Like, are you kidding me, Megyn Kelly? Come on.
Well, especially when you're false idol Trump, you're going to tell me he's some sort of beautiful piece of man.
Right. Yes. And we're talking about derangement syndrome. I mean, this is completely deranged, dude.
And she is the one in one of the 2016 debates that famously called Trump out on calling women dogs and pigs. And Trump was like, only Rosie O'Donnell. And Megyn Kelly was like, no. And she started to list all these names as Trump just kept talking over her. This is such typical MAGA spinelessness. You know, for Megyn Kelly to come back around to the Trump world like that, it's like when Ted Cruz, Trump accused his dad of assassinating JFK, and Ted just fell right in line.
Yeah.
And, oh, what? Yes, the derangement syndrome, first of all, is clearly on their side. And the fact that you guys have to make up some fake medical term to try to come to grips as to why we all hate your false god, that it speaks volumes about you, as if we can't just dislike the man based on everything he has done and said.
Yes, 100%. Everything you said is spot on, and it should be that simple. But, yeah, I mean, they've been using this Trump derangement syndrome thing for a while now. Right. You have Megyn Kelly stand up there and say, like, you get laid more, you date more. Like, dude, I don't know who you're kidding, but.
Nope. Like I said, if you missed the start of the show, it was all about MAGA people saying that they can't find any good MAGA masculine men. And there's just the MAGA dating scene is abysmal. It's probably because half the MAGA men are closeted homosexuals. That's why Grindr crashes whenever there's a Republican convention, the Charlie Kirk funeral. Like, it's not a coincidence. Okay.
Speaking of people that are on Grindr or have been seen on Grindr, let's check in real quick and see what little Skippy Mike Johnson has to say to America.
Yeah, please.
The Democrats are required to open the government. They keep saying Republicans are in charge of government. We aren't. Not in the Senate. 60 votes control the Senate. Not a bare majority.
Okay, dude. So,
And what's new about that?
Listen, dude. Marjorie Taylor Greene posts on this video and says the Republican-controlled Senate used the nuclear option today to override the 60-vote rule in order to confirm over 100 Trump nominees, yet continues to claim Democrats are causing the shutdown. Spoiler alert, the Republicans in the Senate can also use the nuclear option to reopen the government and override the Democrats, just like they literally did today to confirm Trump nominees.
Yep.
She goes on to say, as I've been saying for weeks now, Republicans in the Senate can reopen the government without Democrats by using the nuclear option. All, oh, wait, you covered me. You
oh, sorry. eventually.
Yeah. Stay tuned. Okay. All of the political drama would end if Republicans would use the power we have. Democrats will do it when they regain power, like it or not. That is Hobbit Foot Marjorie Taylor Greene coming to the defense of the Democrats on this government shutdown, right, which is a mess. I mean, what a mess, dude, with people preparing to lose their SNAP benefits. People are going to be hungry. Meanwhile, we're seeing all these government workers furloughed and not being paid. I've got people in my personal life that he and his wife both work for the government and listen to this podcast. But he was like, hey, we'll get together when this government strike is over, or when the closure of the government is over. And I thought to myself,
it'll be a while.
I wonder what, oh, yeah, maybe people are a little hard up for cash that are, you know, furloughed right now. So yeah, this is not only hurting government workers, our military, and all the people that rely on food assistance and other assistance in this country. This is, we're really going to start to see this shit rolling downhill real quick.
Yeah. If you want any indication, any metric as to whether or not things are upside down in this world, Marjorie Taylor Greene is the voice of reason coming out of the Republican Party.
Yes.
Enough said.
Enough said is right. This is interesting. It's that this whole shutdown isn't just a political standoff. It's a deliberate strategy by the administration to push for permanent cuts to government programs and shrink federal influence. They're closing up all these government agencies while this shutdown is happening, and no one can see it. No one's watching. This is the king administration of, hey, look over here while we do this. You know, they do it well, and they're continuing to do it. As you get prepared to take off for Chicago, we're seeing more and more air traffic controllers not showing up for duty, more TSA workers not showing up for duty. Will you be delayed? Who
yes,
knows?
I assume I will be. Yeah. Is there a way to get this thing off the screen?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
Not that I don't appreciate her words, but no, it's crazy. I saw a great video the other day about little Skippy Mike Johnson there avowing last year that no more continuing resolutions. I vow that when Trump wins and we retake both houses, that we will never do a continuing resolution. Like, listen, people, pass a budget. Continuing resolutions put you in this position where you do have to negotiate with the other side if you're not going to do the nuclear option, which they could do. But otherwise, don't pretend that this is some new world. You did it to Obama. You did it to Biden. We had to come to the table. It's called governance. Like, yeah, sometimes you got to compromise. And fuck you, Republicans. You do control all three. You got the White House, you got the Senate, you got the Congress. So what? You've got to compromise and get 6-7 Democrats to be on your team all of a sudden? You already got Fetterman, and screw that guy, but he's on your team now. So how many more do you need?
John Mr. Arbenzel.
Right. Yes. And, you know, I mean, there's classic audio. I just used it today in one of my videos, Trump back in 2013. You got to blame the president during the shutdown. The buck stops at the president.
Yeah, I would say it's his fault. Yeah. Yeah. People forget real quick when they talk out of both sides of their mouth. It's interesting.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Hey, Steve, as we run out of time, I got a video we can play, but you want to talk about Kai?
Oh, well, I just think it's funny. So I did a video today for Really American about Kai Trump. Do you even know who she is? Because she's kind of new to the mega scene.
Yeah, I know who she is. I watch her videos.
Oh, you follow her on Instagram?
No, I see her on TikTok all the time. She did this series called Golfing with Grandpa.
It's ridiculous. She is the epitome of the Trump family, like grifting off the family name. So I did a video today. Like, a bunch of people are getting a little outraged over this YouTube channel and Instagram where she's flying around in Air Force One and hanging out in the Oval Office and taking chip shots on the lawn of the White House. She is selling merch. She sold it from the White House. She did a whole video of her on the front, you know, porch or whatever of the White House, which is illegal. You cannot use government facilities like that to profit off of. But of course, no one's going to prosecute her, because that would be Pam Bondi that would have to file charges against her. But yeah, there's all this outrage going on. And it was kind of funny, because at one point in my video, I made a joke that, you know, she's not good enough to get on the LPGA tour. And so I was finishing my video, and literally as I'm doing like my final edit, I just thought, like, maybe she's been on some junior LP. I'm like, I should just double check that. I swear to God, while I was writing and recording the fucking video, it got announced today that she's been invited to be on the LPGA tour. But it's not from her skills, if I have to point that out.
Are you sure? I mean, she is a great golfer. She's a great golfer.
Debatable. But, she's ranked like 498th in the world of professional women.
Yeah. So you think there's some nepotism going on here?
Of course there is. And by the way, this little brat is already a multimillionaire because she's got multiple golf endorsements. The biggest one is from TaylorMade, which happened to come down in February of this year, a couple of weeks after Grandpa Donnie was put into the White House.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was announced today that she's going to be playing in one tournament. She's 18 years old. But in a statement obtained by the BBC, the LPGA Chief Tour Business and Operations Officer Ricky Lasky explained that invitations like the one that Kai received are, quote, an important way to spotlight emerging talent and bring new attention to our tournaments. I see nothing in that statement about her being the next Tiger Woods, some golf prodigy. Obviously, she deserves a spot on here. Screw the 496 people ahead of her on the list. Like, obviously, it's nepotism and that they want this exposure and they want to keep Trump happy and they don't want to, like, please. So yeah. Way to screw up my video, which I did go edit that joke out. Thank you very much. But yes, it just reeks of fucking nepotism. And as we're talking about people, millions of people losing SNAP benefits at the end of this month, we got this little teenager out there making millions of dollars because her last name is Trump.
Oh, well, let's see if she can rub you the wrong way. Okay. Oh, wait. Here's Kai.
What's up, guys? I am thrilled to announce that I will be making my LPGA Tour debut in November at the Onica, driven by Gainbridge. The Onica is at the Pelican Golf Club. It has been a dream of mine to compete at the professional level, and I'd like to thank the Pelican Golf Club for the invitation. I'm looking forward to teeing up and competing with the best players in the world at one of the most premier venues on tour. I will see you guys November 10th through the 16th at the Pelican Golf Club in Bel Air, Florida.
Let's have a chip shot. Guy, let's give it. Get it, girl.
Oh, oof. Listen to that crack.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see how she does in the tournament. Prove me wrong. Please go out there and win the thing. Score in the top 50 and I'll be impressed.
You're so right that she's taking this opportunity away from someone like, you know, I know Venus and Serena play tennis, but somebody like that that didn't have the money to go play at great courses for training. She's taking that spot away. So yeah, bravo.
And she is selling merch. She did this video where she's selling, like, my new sweatshirts are out and they're the best sweatshirts ever. Where would she get that kind of logic from? But sure. She's like, I'm signing four. So the first four of you, you know, get an autographed Kai Trump thing. And then she had the balls to say, because none of this would be possible without you. No. None of it would be possible without the womb that you were lucky enough to plop out of.
Yeah.
So bite me.
This is the state of peril our country resides in currently, and that'll end the podcast for today.
Yep. We'll be back in a couple of days, assuming none of us end up in Guantanamo Bay, because my social media feed is not very Trump-friendly. So I know they're watching.
Correctamundo. You can find this podcast right here on the Really American Media platform. We also have it available everywhere else, and we have some social medias as well, so... see us, share us, spread us. You know you love it.
Yeah. Speaking of dating apps, sounds familiar.
Yeah. We'll see you next time, ladies and gents.
And that wraps up another episode of The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve, arming you with a sharp tongue and all the facts you need to fuel the fight, the resistance. stay healthy, touch some grass, and we'll catch you next time on The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Good day, champions.
Peace.